You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Wednesday, December 12th. I'm Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. On today's show, it is going to be me and David Zavok from For The Sword talking about Tristan Thompson, Thompson's injury. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a foot sprain, and how good he's been, what his future in Cleveland might be. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Megaphone, wherever you get your shows. You can find Locked On Cavaliers. A 5-star review on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts, is the best way to support the show. Today's show is just going to be me and David. There is obviously the J.R. Smith and the Rockets rumors out there. The Cavs played Monday, had some technical difficulties, so I had to pass on yesterday's show. We will have a recap up of the show for tomorrow, recapping Cavs Knicks and looking at tactics with Mike Zevgano from Fear the Sword and Dimag, as we do each Thursday. And then Friday, Bol Bol talk and two-way player talk with Trevor Magnotti from Fear the Sword and The Step Back. So you're going to hear from our sponsor real quick, and then you're going to hear from me and David talking about Tristan Thompson back tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. Cheers. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. This is heat on demand with the touch of a button. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. This is a perfect gift for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. It's great for anyone who works outdoors, is a skier or snowboarder, or anyone that just hates being cold. With these 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours and reach up to 135 degrees, Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released this winter season. I got this for my dad for a gift recently, and he loves it. He's a freeze baby. He grew up in Florida before marrying my mom and moving to Cleveland, and when he shovels, he hates being cold. He's a freeze baby no matter what he has on. He can have the best coat, and he'll say he's cold, and this has changed really how he feels about being outside. He still doesn't like the cold, but this makes it so much better for him. And today, for Locked On Cavs listeners, we've got a special deal. Our listeners can save 20% off their entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON to save 20% on your Action Heat order. And joining me now is David Zavok from Fear the Sword. David, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. So we're here to do a Tristan Thompson hagiography because he's been absurdly good this year, but we're going to start off the top talking about the unfortunately timed news that he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. First reported by Woj, the Cavs announced it on Tuesday. Suffered a sprained left foot against the Bucks. If you watched that game or saw the clips, he fell awkwardly in the third quarter, left the game, did not return. X-rays were negative. Tests back in Cleveland today were confirming that injury. So, David, I think it goes without being said that this is going to really hurt the Cavs. He's been their best player. They have a lot of other injuries right now. What was your just initial reaction to seeing that Tristan was going to miss somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks?
Well, you know, the bright side, I guess, is, you know, maybe it opens up things a little bit offensively for guys. But that's really the only positive I can really see because, you know, if you want to start defensively, the Cavs have been bad. And they just at the point of attack on the perimeter, I think, have been abysmal. Tristan hasn't really been able to cover up a whole lot of that, but you know, there are at least times where, you know, he's been able to head off drives on some level, and I think they'll take a step back now defensively, but at the same time, you know, offensively, he's just been getting so many offensive rebounds. I saw somebody say that in half of the games he has at least 6 offensive rebounds. For a team like the Cavs that just don't play efficiently offensively, getting extra possessions, I think, you know, is helpful. And if they're not going to be able to do that, that's going to hurt.
I think I agree that I think the offensive stuff will be an adjustment because he has kind of in the wake of Kevin Love just not only playing like a few games this year, they've run a lot of stuff through Tristan Thompson. They've basically given him some responsibilities of passing out of the off the elbow, of doing some dribble handoffs. So maybe like things get a little bit more spacious with him not out, but I don't know if it'll be necessarily better. Also, the best screener on the team, frankly, and like Nance is a better screener than he was, but they don't really have any other guys that are good at kind of setting screens for someone like Colin Sexton right now. And I think the offensive rebounding stuff is really, really going to matter. I think defensively, they're going to be worse too, just because like while Tristan is not helping them be a good defensive team, he's one of the few guys on this roster that I would say knows what he's doing and knows how to move his feet, knows where to be on the floor. And he's been, especially without George Hill there now, one of the guys keeping things organized on the floor. And, you know, I think they have guys that can do that. And I think they're being coached. I think the coaching can certainly kind of help with that, or maybe be a little more, just make some adjustments to try to make up for Tristan not being there. But I think not having him on the floor and just like in the trenches every day isn't going to help a team that's already not very good and has a lot of issues on one end of the floor in particular, because Tristan's the one guy who can sort of keep things organized in a meaningful way.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, Larry Nance is maybe a little bit more gifted of a passer. So, you know, potentially
definitely
he steps in. And if they're asking him to do some of those same things, maybe it goes a little bit better. I don't think they're, you know, we went into the season not really knowing if Tristan or Larry was really a better player. I think that answer, you know, over the first portion of the season was answered pretty resoundingly that Tristan was playing better. But Larry's, you know, gotten healthy over the last, I would say, 2 weeks. And I think he's in a good position to take over the starting job. But part of the reason why he's looked better is that he was, you know, coming off the bench. So we'll see. It's not an ideal situation. I mean, you just look at what Tristan's done. He had a PER of 20.4. And, you know, that's, you know, going to be inflated by some of his rebounding numbers and that sort of thing. But it's certainly not inflated by, you know, a crazy high usage rate or anything like that. It's still at 17.4%, which is not, you know, particularly high. So you're seeing the best efficiency numbers of Tristan's career in terms of offensive value. I mean, there were years with LeBron where, you know, he was, you know, very efficient, but to be able to sort of do that on a higher, a slightly higher usage rate. I mean, he's a 17.4 usage for him is the highest since the year before LeBron came back. So, you know, he's been doing more. He's maintained his efficiency. He's maybe done a little bit more. It will certainly hurt to lose him.
So what for you this year has been the most impressive thing about Tristan's season? You can, you know, you look at pretty much every statistic and he's averaging a career high in points by a slight margin. He's shooting a career, almost a career best. Oh, not actually, that's not right. He's shooting pretty well from on shots, at least relatively. He's taking the most shots per game he's taken since his second year in the league, his first like real NBA season where he started a bunch. His rebounding numbers are really what's off the charts, a career best 11.6 per game. His per 100 possession numbers are blowing out his best season by a mile, and that was the 2015-16 season. His offensive rebounding numbers are the best they've ever been by, you know, like to over two or almost two and almost two. I think for me, it's the rebounding, and I think it's just how like he can just even when the Cavs are not playing that well, he's still dominating a game in that way. And just how athletic he's looked at doing. And I think the combination of those two things has really stood out to me. Is there something for you that else has started out, or is there something about the rebounding in particular that has really caught your eye?
I mean, I think just recently they've been asking him to do more offensively, and he's been able to do it. He's, like I said, you know, for a starting center, a true shooting rate of 57 is not outrageous or great, but for him it's different than what we've seen throughout his career, and It's a little bit lower than, you know, his high point when, you know, he was playing with LeBron, but for him to step up his usage and maintain a decent efficiency rate shooting the ball, I think he's shown a little bit more offensive skill than I would have guessed. I want to get really excited about his defensive rebounding rate numbers because he's been sort of criticized for defensive rebounding in the past. But I wonder how much of that is simply, you know, Kevin Love not sharing the court with him. So you're right. I mean, for his offensive rebounding rate to jump like it is nuts. But if I'm going to be a little different, I'll go back to that.
I think the part of this that I think probably contributes to this more than he has said, and maybe it's just something so obvious that we don't need to say it, is that I think he's just really been healthy. And that's part of the reason why this foot injury is kind of such a bummer to me. Because Tristan has not, I don't know if he's looked this good since the 16 finals. And I haven't like spent the time to go back and like look at film and like kind of gauge this and with everyone possible. But when I asked Ty about this at the beginning of the year, he said Tristan hadn't been this healthy at least since the end of the previous season. And I would guess that he probably wasn't as healthy that season, because that's when the injuries, that's when he missed a game for the first time, for example. He's talked about just how much better he feels and everything like that. And that makes sense to me. I mean, this is a guy that the year LeBron comes back, he is, you know, he's playing 82 games, plays a ton of minutes, plays in the finals, then does that again for another three seasons. And last year just has a lot of injuries. And it was not, I think, a coincidence that he looked a lot better after he had a lot of rest last year and had to sit out some games because he was hurt. I think it's a guy just had a lot of minutes on his legs, and he's a big guy that was doing a lot of dirty work. So to me, like that is the biggest thing of anything. It's just like maybe Tristan just needed to get right. He's in his theoretical probable prime years of being an athlete, and like he's just, again, he's looked really healthy. There's a block that he had against what it would have been the Wizards, that like that guy was not making that play last year. He recovered really well. He got up and he swatted a ball completely out of the way and just like jumped to do it. That's not something this guy was doing last year. And I think my hope is that like they have no reason to rush him back, frankly. My hope is that he does not try to come back right away until he's like actually good to go. Because again, there is no reason for him to see the court again until he is like as close to 100% as you can be when your job is to put your body kind of through a lot to just play a game of basketball.
Yeah, I think we had no clue what we were going to come back and get from him this year, both in terms of his mindset, in terms of how, you know, how much of a team player he was going to be, whether or not he wanted to stay in Cleveland. It could have gone a lot of different ways, but I don't think anybody can. The usual suspects who have criticized him in the past have not been doing that, and I think everybody is just pretty impressed with what he's been able to do, and it's a little frustrating because it looked like a pretty flukish thing yesterday, and it didn't really even look like it was going to be that big of a deal. But you know, it doesn't take much, and for a guy who's been, you know, extremely durable in the past, for to see him go down like that was a little surprising. But no, there's no need to rush it, and you know, the Cavs have made a big investment in Larry Nance Jr., and they'll be able to see what they have, you know, to give him one more shot or another shot, you know, to sort of, you know, make it clear that he could be a starter in the league. Cause I haven't seen anything to indicate that he could, but he's healthy and we'll see. And then, you know, they've got Ante Zizic and he'll get an opportunity, and at some point John Henson will get an opportunity too. So we'll see how it goes.
It's a lot of bigs. It's a lot of bigs. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk more about Tristan Thompson with David Zabok. And we're back. So, David, I said this right before we took that break, but the Cavs have just a lot of guys that are big and play center. So Tristan, Zizic, you can throw Channing Frye in there, Larry Nance, who's played some four, obviously, but has really been a five since the Cavs got him, John Henson, who won't be back until after the All-Star break, and then Kevin Love factors into this too because he's going to need to play next to these guys, and based on how many they have, they can't really play him at the five anymore. My priority, Zizek shown me enough that makes me like want them to just try to play him. Although I do hope he plays over Fry these next couple of weeks, just because I think you have to get him some minutes at some point. That being said, I could see Henson being flipped. I could see, you know, Fry's probably going to, I would assume he's gone or retires after the end of this year, at least in theory. Nance is obviously going to be around. Tristan only has the 1 year left on his deal, and who knows really with Kevin Love. With where we're at right now, with what you've seen from Tristan, where the Cavs are at in terms of their readjustment, their rebuild post-LeBron, has what Tristan's done this year affected where you think he fits in beyond this season and beyond theoretically the end of his contract? Because you're assuming that he can continue to be healthy and play at a good level, at a high level, into next season and beyond.
Well, I think if you look at it, if he misses a month from today, come back January 11th, that gives you about a month before the trade deadline, I think, to see if he comes back healthy, and you know, maybe you're showing him off to other teams. But I think he was good enough that the Cavs feel, and his attitude was good enough that the Cavs feel comfortable keeping him. And I think it's an answer with, I think it's a question with just decent answers all the way around. If you hold on to him and he keeps helping Colin Sexton with screens, then great. And if you don't, then you don't. But I think the other good thing about this month is maybe the way that Larry Nance plays fits into what you think. Because, again, you're giving Larry Nance another chance to show that he can start in the league, and if he can't, then you're still looking for that starting center. And you're right, they had Kevin Love as the starting center a year ago. I understand why people like that, but I never really was a huge fan of it. And I think he's fine at power forward, especially given the mobility of Larry and Tristan. So if Larry Nance is just really good over the next month and lays claim to the starting spot, maybe that makes Tristan a little more expendable. But I haven't seen enough to make me think that is the right option.
If Larry Nance spends the next month like hitting threes and dishing out five to seven assist games and defends well and like looks real jumpy, this becomes a different conversation. But I agree with you. I think Tristan's just been like a lot better than him, and obviously Nance had that injury, Tristan didn't up until now. That factors into this too. The reality is that Larry Nance has a longer contract than Tristan Thompson. He's younger. I think they view him marketing wise as someone like, to be cynical about it, like that they know is just going to kind of be one of the faces they can have because of his dad, because of his dunking ability. Like there's a lot of, mostly because of who his dad is, frankly. There's some of that there. But I also think there's a real scenario where the Cavs look, they finish this year out really bad. And let's say like right now, looking at Tankathon, they don't have the worst record in the league, but they are number three by half a game over the Hawks. They're right in the thick of it to get a top three pick. Hopefully for their sake, they end up in the top four, get someone that they believe can help change their franchise. It would not shock me if they decide to like keep Tristan around to help lead the team, keep Kevin at least until the summer, and if not into next season, and try to like make it work with three bigs, with the young guys, and try to make like Tristan be one of the veteran leaders on the team. I don't think that's necessarily a thing that is unlikely. And also just like, I don't know how many teams right now especially are going to be wanting to pay Tristan what he's getting paid a lot of money, and I don't think the deal was a mistake. I don't think revisiting that makes any sense, but he is someone who is going to make $18.5 million next year. That's a lot of money for a guy that does what he does and not a really good team. Maybe he doesn't play more than like 20-something minutes a game. So I wonder if he's at least here through the end, hits fridge, and then we see what happens and where he's at. But I also think there is a scenario where like this is a guy that is a Cavs lifer. There is a reality where I think like him and Nance are both just like around, and it's sort of weird, but it happens. And I that wouldn't shock me either. But there's still like a lot of stuff that has to happen before we know that. But It wouldn't shock me either. You specifically, because of your love for Tristan, kind of thinking about what he is as a trade asset, kind of catches me off guard. But I think it's interesting because I had just sort of assumed that he might just be kind of very hard to trade.
I mean, he might be. I don't know. The way he was playing earlier this year, it wouldn't surprise me if a Sixers or a Raptors or a Lakers or you know, any of those teams that would be picking, you know, in the 20 to 30 range would be willing to give up their first round pick, because there is a large body of evidence that he helps in the playoffs. He's actually one of the few Cavs that can actually say that. George Hill couldn't say that. Rodney Hood can't say that. Kevin Love can sort of say it. So in terms of when people are looking at, okay, who's going to help put us over the top? I think Tristan Thompson has proven it enough times that I think a good team might be willing to do that. But again, I don't know. So, are you going to get a great asset back? I don't know that either, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had a positive trade value, which, again, I think going into the year, I think it was fair to say, just like you just did, given how much, you know, he makes, it would have been fair to question that. And maybe it still is. I don't know.
I like the Raptors idea for him. I think it would be cool to see him go to his hometown. I think he'd help them. I think just like them being like, hey, here's someone that can like just take Al Horford out of a series, like that'd be valuable to them. And look, like you could trade him for Jonas Valanciunas, and then the Cavs could eat a pick, and that'd be really funny considering the draft stuff. But NBA is a weird world. But David, we'll wrap it up on this. Rest of the year, what is something with this Cavs team, aside from Tristan, is there anything else out there that you just, aside from like the obvious stuff, I guess, the Sexton stuff, how many minutes does Dele play and how many standing ovations does he get? What is just something you wanted to see how it plays out? Is there something like that you're just wanted to see what the Cavs do and how that will inform you look at the team next summer?
The short answer is no. I think, you know, maybe if that, you know, they needed to resolve for themselves whether or not a Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, Kevin Love front court is what they want. But, you know, they're not going to figure out what they have with Colin Sexton in the next few months. And I don't think that they have a player that's good enough, even as a prospect, that would make them say that there's a position in the draft that they should ignore. So, no, I mean, I think they're just looking at trying to get the best draft pick and trying to get the best prospect once they get that. So I think that's pretty much, in a way, that's kind of a bummer because there aren't any huge questions for us to answer for the rest of the year. But at the same time, I do think that you're still trying to figure out, you know, is Chetty Osman an asset? You know, Alec Burks is, you know, are you trading him or what? So there are some open questions, but long term, I don't know that any of them have a huge impact.
I think if Jetty struggles the way he has, that would be kind of a bummer for them, especially his shot and his just confidence looks just a little off right now. So I just want to see how he rebounds more than anyone. I think Sexton's like just going to kind of go with the flow more than Jetty just looks more visibly frustrated on the court when he like misses a shot and whatnot, and Sexton just kind of keeps going at it and keeps grinding at it, and Jetty just looks like a little dejected when he misses threes. So I just want to see how he kind of perks up over the rest of the year, if he can, and sort of what he looks like. But you can find David's writing at For the Sword. You can find him on Twitter at David Zabok. David, thanks so much.
Hey, talk to you soon.
Thanks again to David for coming on today's show. Again, find him on Twitter at David Zabok. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. The pod is on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. Email the pod with questions, comments, concerns, lockdowncavs@gmail.com. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you after Cavs Knicks Dele's home debut, and we'll hear a recap of that and Tactics Thursday on tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening. Cheers.